Today's daf is daf Zayin. We're going to start at the bottom of Vav Amubet. We'll do our Refuah Shleimot, Dvora Badina, Ozav Ram Shimon Ben Chana, Karmit Bat Naima, Orli Panina Bat Rachel Frida, Chaya Malka Esther Bat Zipporah, Daniel Ben Miriam Chaya Rut. The end of the daf had some interesting things. Okay, we won't get all into it, but Elu Ve'elu Dvar Elohim Chayim comes up here, a very famous source about, you know, all words of Torah are valid, different ways, all about different, having different ways of understanding things. And then it moved on to this issue of, we'll start from six lines from the bottom, Amar Chista, La'olam al yatil adam ema yitera b'toch beto. Okay, a man should never be too forceful in his house. Shave pilegesh b'giva hitil aleha ba'ala ema yitera v'yipila kama revavot mi'Yisrael. Because pilegesh b'giva, assumption here is he was very harsh in the house, and it caused her to, you know, caused the whole story to unfold. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Matil Ema Yitera B'toch Beito, Sofu Balidei Shalosh Averot, Giloy Arayot U'Shvichut Amim B'Chilul Shabbat. Okay, there's different interpretations exactly how this leads to all these things, but Giloy Arayot, maybe she'll go be with somebody else, or maybe she'll say, Rashi says it's, that when her time to Tovel comes, and let's say she was cold and she didn't want to go to the mikveh, she'd be so scared to tell her husband I didn't go to the mikveh that he'll end up sleeping. You know, she'll say I toveled, even though she didn't really. Okay, shvichut damim. One of the interpretations I saw was that she'll end up being with somebody else, and then he'll kill that person. You know, unfortunately, we see a lot of situations where, you know, the jealousy gets very strong. Or Rashi says something totally different, that maybe she'll be running away from him and she'll fall and she'll die. That will cause shvichut amim. And chilul Shabbat, also not so clear what this is. Rashi explains she lights a candle, or, you know, something like she forgot to cook the food for Shabbat. Hard to imagine that would actually happen, but anyway, right? She forgets to cook the food for Shabbat and she's so upset, she's so worried about what his reaction's going to be, right? So anyway, it's something to keep in mind, you know, this concept that never make anyone too, you know, don't be so forceful because it will cause all sorts of other things to happen inadvertently. Amar Rabba Bar Chana. Hada Amar Rabbanan, Shlosha Dvarim Tzarich Adam Lomar B'toch Beito Erev Shabbat Im Chashecha, Isartem Eravtem Hadliku Etaner, Tzarich Lameim Rinhu B'nichuta. So now they say, well, if a person's not supposed to, right? In fact, I read this sugya. I find often it's the husbands who are scared of the wives. Like the wives have expectations of the husbands and they don't live up to, yeah, they don't help, they don't do, you know, often in a relationship, you know, so obviously the Gemara is telling the man. So often things are geared toward the man in the Gemara language because that's what they were, you know, that's who they were talking to. But really, it's all about how you speak. You know, that's what this is saying here, that it's all about tone of voice and how you speak and what you say, and you have to be careful. It might be one thing. So on the one hand, the Mishnah tells you, and we learned this Mishnah in Shabbat, what does it mean? There's three things, we say it every Friday night in B'mei Madlikin, there's three things that you have to say, Erev Shabbat, what does this mean? Did you do Masrot? Okay, because once Shabbat starts, you can't take Maser. Did you make an Eruv? Okay, this is a machloka, whether it's Eruv Tchumin or Eruv Chatzero, to be able to carry or to be able to go outside the Tchum of Shabbat. And then, Haliku Ataner, when we learned that Mishnah, we explained it doesn't mean, did you light the candle? It means, okay, if you did all that stuff, then it's a command, go light the candles. So they're saying, you know, even though the Mishnah gives a directive for a husband to tell his wife, ask her these questions, did you do this, did you do that, right? How many times do we have this in our house, right? Did you take care of this? Did you take care of that? Right? So what's it telling you here? You have to say it, b'nichuta. It's all about your tone of voice. That's what I always remember my mother telling me, right? It's all about the tone of voice and how you say things. So yes, it's one thing. You do sometimes have to ask, you know, but there's a fine line between that and l'hapil emayitera b'toch beito. Okay, it's about learning how to speak and how to say things. Kihechi, why do you have to do it b'nichuta? Dilikavlu minei. Here's, you know, your very obvious, what everyone will tell you, speak so people will listen to you, right? If you say it not nice, then no one's going to listen to you. But if you want her to accept what you said and listen to you, you have to speak nicely. Okay. This again goes with all those Gemaras that, you know, like we said, it's not just a book of halacha, it's also a book of all sorts of other things, how to, you know, midot and how to behave, etc. Okay, Amar Rav Ashi, here's an interesting statement. Ana lo shmi'ala li de ha de Rabba Bar Chana. I never heard him say that, okay? Like, I didn't learn that. But ki amti amisfara. But I did it anyway because it was logical to me what he was saying. Okay, why he needs to say that, we've actually seen this kind of a statement before. is interesting, but okay. Amar Rabbi Abba, lo'olam al yatil ema yitera b'toch beto. Here we're going to have another one, okay? Don't make anyone, the people in your house, scared. Sharei adam gadol hitil ema yitera b'toch beto, v'hechiluhu davar gadol. Okay, davar gadol, we've seen this before. We saw it before where davar gadol meant it was a pig. Okay, here also, right, they fed him, they fed him something that he shouldn't have eaten. So Manu, who was this person who did this? Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. He's the son of one of the Rabban Gamliels. Hechiluhu, salkadatach, you really think they fed him something he shouldn't have eaten? We're going to see in a minute what this davar gadol was. But do you really think he ate it? Hashta, we've seen this also. Behemtan shel tzadikim, en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takalal yadam. Tzadikim atzmam lo kol shekein. If Hashem makes sure that the behemot aren't even going to have a takala, this was, we saw the chamorim of someone never ate things that weren't maisered. Okay, this came up in the past. So tzadikim atzmam, don't you think God is going to protect the tzadikim from eating things they shouldn't be eating? Umay nihu, Ela, so what's the answer? Bikshu lahachilo davar gadol. They almost fed him, okay? It's like, it almost happened that he was fed this davar gadol. Umay nihu, and what was it that he was almost fed? Eber minachai. Okay, they almost took an Eber Minachai. Why? Because they had this piece of meat, and somehow someone must have, you know, in the kitchen eaten a piece, and they were worried he was going to be very upset that a piece was missing. So they were going to, you know, they were rushing, obviously, to get it on the table. So they didn't have time to start checking the animal. They were going to just take the Eber from a different animal and serve it. Okay, why it didn't end up happening is a good question, right? What happened? What protected it? You know, what made them stop? But anyway, they almost did that. Okay, that's the end of this section. Okay, we had a little sidetrack about this Ema Yitera. Okay, now we're going to move back to our issue, okay, but really not our issue. Okay, what were we talking about before? There was this issue of Sirtut. Okay, Sirtut is where they make these lines. If you've seen in a Sefer Torah, there's these lines going across, or in a Megillah. Okay, it's basically, right, like lined paper to make sure the lines are straight. So in a cloth, you're not going to draw lines on it, but you etch in lines. And that you have to have in a get. You need the surtut. So now they're going to talk about all sorts of situations where people wrote things to other people and it says surtet. Okay, he drew lines on the paper when he was sending. Okay, and this is more questions people are asking other people. Shalach le mar uchva le Rabbi Elazar. Okay, Mar Ukva sends a question to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is living in Israel. Mar Ukva was the Resh Galuta. Okay, remember that we talked about the Resh Galuta? He's the head of the Galut. It's almost like the Nasi. He usually came from the house of David because they wanted to keep this concept of the Malchut. Okay, and he was the head of the Galut. Shalach le Mar Ukva le Rabbi Elazar. So he sends a question to Israel, to Rabbi Elazar. B'nei Adam ha'umdim alai u'biyadi le'masram le'malchut mahu. There's some people that are bugging me. And they're really getting in my way, and, you know, they're not behaving appropriately or whatever it is. Am I allowed to turn them over to the authorities and let them do with them what they want? So, Sirtek v'katavle, Amarti eshmira drachai mechato, bilshoni eshmira lefi machsom. No, I think it's eshmira drachai mechato bilshoni eshmira lefi machsom. Okay, ba'od rasha lenigdi. So how do they explain this? Apa pisha rasha lenegdi, even though there's a rasha, right? That's ba'ov rasha lenegdi, the end of the pasuk. Even though there's a rasha negdi, eshmera lefi machson. I will keep my mouth closed. Okay? In other words, don't go turn him into the authorities. Shalach le, so he sends back to him, kamitzari li tuva, v'lo matzina de'ikum b'hu. He's really, you know, bothering me a lot. Okay? This guy's obviously doing not good things. Okay? And I don't have a way to take care of it. Shalach le dom lahashem v'hitcholelo. Okay? What does this mean, dom lahashem v'hitcholelo? Dom lahashem, okay, there's many different interpretations of this word dom. Okay? Either it means, let's try to remember all the interpretations. Right? Either it means to resign yourself to God. Okay? Dom lahashem, like just kind of put yourself at God's mercy. Some people say it was connected to dimdume chama, like get up early every day and stay up late every night learning, and that might be. There's a few other interpretations. Dom lahashem v'hu yapilem lecha chalalim chalalim. Hashkem v'harev. This is why they thought it was connected to dimdume chama. Hashkem v'harev alehem lebeit hamidrash v'hem kalim me'alehem. Okay, so he says to him, basically, stick with God and God will resolve it for you. Okay, don't start handing him over to the authorities, but you should stay with Hashem and Hashem will take care of it. Hadavar, and what does he say? Wake up early, right? Be the first in the Beit Midrash in the morning and be the last in the Beit Midrash at night. Okay, and then your enemies will be destroyed. Hadavar yatsa mipi Rabbi Elazar. Now remember, he sent a letter, okay? So as soon as Rabbi Elazar said this, before he even did what Rabbi Elazar told him to do, right? Rabbi Elazar said, go, you know, be the first one in the Beit Midrash, be the last one. But before he even did what he said, Hadavar yatsa mipi Rabbi Elazar, unitanu ligneva, okay? Gneva is the guy who was bothering him, bikolar. It's interesting that first he's anonymous, and then at the end we find out his name. Okay, Gneva apparently was this interesting character who was a big Talmid Chacham, but he also was very contentious, and he, you know, there's all sorts of things about him that the rabbis don't know exactly what to do with him, because he was a big Talmid Chacham. On the other hand, his actions weren't always the most appropriate. So, what?
His name kind of implies.
Right. His name clearly, right? Gneva, exactly. It sounds like Gneva. Yes, a kolar is one of these...
Chains
around their necks that they used to use, okay, to arrest people. Although I think he gets killed here, okay? I think it was a way they used also maybe to kill him. Shoshel Shabrazel, right. It said, Rashi says that the people would get before they were taken to their death, okay? And now, what I think is interesting here is, in the end, the authorities do kill him. You know, it's interesting. But what they're saying is, even if his death will come on the way of the authorities, by way of the authorities, you can't actually hand someone into the authorities. Okay, like it's not for you to do that. God's the one who can determine whether or not, you know, and in the end, he brings the death through the, you know, the non-Jewish authorities. So it's interesting. Anyway, there's a lot of questions to be asked here, right? Why he told him to do something and he didn't even do it and yet it happens. Some people say, you know, it shows here the power of words. That as soon as you say something, it could make things happen. And especially if you're a big Talmid Chacham, you know, when Davar Yatsa Mipiv, you know, and immediately went straight from there to God's mouth, to God's ears. Okay. Shachule Lamar Ukva. Zimra Minalan de Asir. Okay, here we're gonna have another Sirtet Vekatavla. Okay, here it's the flip where Mar Ukva gets a question. Last time Mar Ukva asked the question. This is gonna bring us back to the end of Sota. How do we know that we can't have music? Okay, we're going to relate to a bunch of the things we learned there. Good Chazara. Okay, this is this whole thing about not being allowed to have music after the Chorban. Sirteit v'katav lehu, al tismach Yisrael el gil ba'amim. Okay, that was the pasuk we saw there, right? That maybe we didn't see this pasuk, actually. I can't remember. But you shouldn't be happy with the happiness of the amim. Okay, you shouldn't play music the way they do. So then they say, "V'lishlach le'mehacha." Why didn't you learn it from here? B'shir lo yishchu yayin, yimar shachar l'shotav. Right? When you sing, you shouldn't drink wine. In other words, you shouldn't sing while you're drinking wine, and the wine will become bitter to those who drink it. Because imeahu hava mina hanimile zimra demana. You might have thought that that's only talking about kelim, like playing musical instruments. Aval depuma share, but it would be allowed to do with your mouth. I don't know exactly why they think that from Bashir. They just, I guess, assume Shir must be. And one pasuk talks about Shir, so they assume Shir means with musical instruments, whereas Simcha would just be singing without musical instruments. You might have thought with your mouth it would be okay. Kamash Malan, that's why we use the other pasuk, Al Tismach Yisrael Gil Ba'amim, that even singing without music is Aser. Okay? This obviously raises the question about, I didn't really talk about this, but again, it's not a halacha shir, but what do we do nowadays? Obviously, we play music, and how do we avoid this? There are places in Israel where they won't, you know, certain people have a minhag not to play music in Jerusalem. Okay, not in Israel, sorry, in Jerusalem specifically. I was living in Jerusalem, there were people who would get married in certain places that were considered outside the boundary of Jerusalem specifically, so they could have music. There's certain psakim that at a wedding is obviously allowed. You know, there's certain situations where it's allowed. You know, how we do it in general nowadays, I don't know all the ins and outs about.
I was at a wedding in Jerusalem, Haredi wedding, and they only have drums.
They only have one instrument.
Interesting.
It's usually drums.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are people are saying that in Jerusalem sometimes they only have drums, one instrument, or right. There's all different issues, and it comes from here. Okay, Amalei Rav Huna Bar Natan Rav Ashi. My dichtiv kina v'dimona v'ad ada. Okay, where's this from? Sefer Yoshua, when it's talking about the land, you know, the places, it lists all the places. These are in the Nachalav Yehuda. Okay, and it lists these Kina v'Dimona v'Adada. So he asked, so Rav Huna asked this question to Rav Huna Bar Natan asked this question to Rav Ashi. Amar Lei, Mitvata Deretz Yisrael Kachashiv. And what kind of a question is that? Why does it list the cities? Because it's listing the cities of Israel. And of course it's going to list those cities. What kind of a question is that? Amar Lei, Atu Ana Lo Yadina De Mitvata Deretz Yisrael Kachashiv. What, you think I didn't know there were cities in Israel that I was asking you this question? Ela Rav Gavia Me'argiza Amar Bata'ama. Because I saw, and as I've heard, that Rav Gavia, this Rav from Argiza, that's where he came from, gave this reason, and he basically, what are they saying? There's a way to darshan these words. Okay, what's the drash? Kol sheyeshbo, remember, is kina v'dimona v'ad ada. Kol sheyeshbo kina al chavero v'domem. Okay, this now goes back to that earlier story about being upset with somebody. If you have jealousy on your friend and you're quiet, shochen ade'ad oselo din. Okay, how do we get this? Kina is from kina, domem is from dimona, and ad ada is ade'ad. Okay, the one who lives forever, God, will do his judgment for him. Okay, there's a bunch of questions about why they dafka, they're darshaning these words, their cities. So one of the explanations is given that at the end of that list of cities, it says that there's 19 cities and there's really 25. And there's 6 extras, and we're now going to darshan another 3. And some people say that maybe those 6 seem to, you know, that those are the 6 that aren't really in part of this count. Other people say, no, they're not part of the count because they were given to Shimon. If you remember, Shimon didn't get his own Nachala. And they were swallowed up in the Nachala of David, of Yehuda. So maybe that's why there's a discrepancy of the numbers. Maybe those were cities of Shimon. But anyway, in any case, they're darshaning them. Amar la, ela me'ata, tziklag, umadmana, I don't know how you pronounce that, madmana, v'sansina, Hachinami, what you're going to also say there's some drasha from those words? If he was here, this Rav, Hava Amar Batama, he would have darshan these, and here's how he would have darshan them. Rav Achami Bechoza Amar Ba, and he would say it in the name of this Rav Achami Bechoza who said this, Amar Bahachi, Kol Mi Sheyesh Lo Tzakat Ligima, that's Tzaklag, what's Tzakat Ligima? Complaint about something somebody swallowed, right? A ligima is a swallow. You swallow something. So if you have a complaint about food, al chavero, something he did relating to your food, like maybe he stole your food, vidomem, and he's quiet, because dumb, right? What was the word? Midamana, they say dom again, vidomem. Shochem basne, the last one was sansina, sne. Shochem basne, reference to God, right, with the burning bush. Oselodin. Okay, so you can darshan those 3 also. Amale Resh Galuta le Rav Huna. Okay, so now we're continuing. So this was the whole thing about the music. And then we jump back to the issue of God taking care of your enemies. And now we're going back to the order here seems a little bit strange. Now we're going back to the issue of all the things that were gozer, b'ifot ha-churban, that you can't do. Again, this is Chazara Tesota. Amale Resh Galuta le Rav Huna. Kalila manalan da aser. How do we know you can't wear one of these crowns they would wear when they got married? Amarle midrabanan. It's a midrabanan. You can't do it. It's not bepumul shal aspasianus gazrul atarot chatanim ba'ala irus. Remember that was the Mishnah at the end of Sota. That in the time of the Churban, right? Aspasianus was in the time of the Churban. Vespasian, he's called in English. They were gozer on atarot of the chatanim and on the irus, which was dafka the drums. It's interesting, right? You said the drums was specifically what they use in the wedding because the irus was some sort of drum and that they wouldn't use. Although we saw that there was a type of drum that was allowed and maybe that's where people get this thing about the drum. Atahachi kam Rav Huna lafnuye. Okay, here gets another interesting story. In the meantime, Rav Huna gets up to go to the bathroom. Okay? In other words, he asked Rav Huna this question. The Resh Galuta asked Rav Huna. Rav Huna says it's Asher Midrabanan, and he says from this Mishnah, he gets up to go to the bathroom. Amar le Rav Chista, who is his Talmid, Krachtiv. Ah, there's a pasuk that relates to this. Okay, we saw this in Sota also. Remember? I think we saw this pasuk. Komar Hashem Elokim. Right. Haser haMitznefet veHarem Atara. We saw this pasuk. Remember when the Mitznefet is off the Kohen Gadol, then the Atara is off from the... or maybe we didn't see this? Now I'm confused. I don't remember if I'm just remembering it because I prepared it or we saw it also in Sota. But anyway, he says, comes from a pasuk that hasera mitznefet v'harei ma'atara, zot lo zot, hashfela hagbe v'agavoa hishpil. So what are they saying here? V'chimanya mitznefet etzal atara, what's the mitznefet doing near the atara? The mitznefet is for the Kohen Gadol, the atara is what people wear. Ela lomar lecha bizman shemitznefet b'rosh Kohen Gadol, atara b'rosh kol adam. Nistalka mitznefet m'rosh Kohen Gadol, nistalka atara m'rosh kol adam. Okay, but that's what we learn here. That when the mitznefet, it says, Hasera mitznefet v'harei ma'atara, as soon as the mitznefet is removed from the Kohen Gadol, meaning we no longer have a Beit HaMikdash, then all the atarot have to be removed. Harei ma'atara, everybody has to take off their atarot. They can no longer have it. So he says it comes from a pasuk. So what happened was, right, Rav Huna says, it's midirabanan. Comes Rav Chista and says it's from a pasuk in the Nevi'im. Now, Sukkim and Nevi'im doesn't mean it's Doraita, but it does have a different level than saying it's midirabanan. Okay, that they were gozer from the time of the Korban. The Nevuah seems to be it's earlier. Ata Rav Huna, eshkechinu tavayatve. So Rav Huna comes back from the bathroom now. What does he see? That they were sitting talking Torah without him, right? Amarle, and he heard what they were saying, obviously. Amarle, Elohim, midirabanan. I swear, it's midirabanan, okay? Don't try saying it's from Sukkim. That's not the way we interpret that pasuk. Ela, but instead of being angry with him, what does he say? Chista shimcha v'chastaim milecha. Okay, your name is chesed, right? Your name is chista, and your milim are milim of chesed. In other words, it's good you're thinking and you're saying things, even if they're not necessarily correct. What this has to do, you can think a little bit connects to the way you want to say things so that people will hear them, right? The beginning of the daf, and that he knew how to say things to criticize him without getting totally angry with him, right? Because in theory, what he did was very disrespectful. Rav Huna went to the bathroom, and then he took the opportunity, oh, now I'll tell you my opinion. I'm not going to say it in front of my rabbi, which you could see. You wouldn't say it in front of his rabbi. On the other hand, to do it when he went out for 5 minutes is also not so appropriate. So anyway, he treats him very nicely despite that. Okay, some of the interpretations say that, they're going to say it here, I think. Okay. Ravina eshkechilamar bar Ravashi, to have a gadil kalila labarte. Okay, Ravina saw that Ravashi was putting one of these atarot on his daughter. Amarle, lo sarala mar, hasera mitznefet bare matara. Right here, it's interesting that he back to the interpretation that Rav Chista gave, that they're using it in later generations. Okay, Ravashi was much later, was later. So Amarle, Jumia de Kohen Gadol Begavre of Abanashe Lo. In other words, that's only Hasera Mesefet Arei Matara, it's only referring to, remember we made a distinction between the Atarot of the Chatanim and the Atarot of the Kalot. And also there we said only maybe the fancy ones, the ones that are made of gold, were forbidden to the Kalot and not the other ones. But one of the interpretations as to why that Pasuk doesn't mean it is because maybe it means the Pshat of that Pasuk is really Hasera Mitznefet Arei Matara, Atara really was the king, saying there's going to be no Kohen Gadol and there's going to be no king. That's really the pshat of that pasuk, and not that it's referring to the crown that regular people are wearing. Okay, we still didn't finish that pasuk, though. If you remember, it's a strange pasuk. I don't know if you noticed this, but it says, Haser mitzev v'rei matara, zot lo zot. Hashvela hagbea v'agbea ha'gavoa yishpil. What is this zot lo zot? So my zot lo zot, Tarash Rabbi Avira, zimnin amr li mishmei d'Rabbi Ami, v'zimnin amr li mishmei d'Rav Asi, know exactly what this means, but sometimes, I mean, I know what it means, but it's a little strange. Sometimes he would say, I learned this from Rabbi Ami, and sometimes he would say, I learned it from Rabbi Asi. Okay, why he would say sometimes he learned it from one person, sometimes from the other person, I'm not so sure. To Rav Ami and Rav Asi. B'sha'a shamar kadosh baruch hu li Yisrael, hasera mitznefet parei matara, amru malachei asharet lefnei kadosh baruch hu. In other words, at the time that God was saying, what's it basically saying? The destruction's coming. There'll be no Kohen Gadol, there'll be no king. So what happened at that point? The Malachim came before Hashem and they said, Ribono shel Olam, here's the Zot, okay? Zot lahem li Yisrael shekdimu lefanecha b'sinai naaseh l'nishma. This is what you're doing to the people who said, naaseh v'nishma? How could you be destroying them? Amar lahem, lo Zot. Okay, that's the Zot, lo Zot. Zot is the Malachim talking and lo Zot is God talking. Lo zot lahem liYisrael shishpilu et hagavoa v'igbiu et hashafel v'imidu tzelem behechal. Okay? The people are corrupted, basically. They put up a tzelem in the hechal. They're making the low people higher and the high people low. And, you know, everything's messed up and that's why they're getting this. And it doesn't help them that they said naaseh v'nishma because things are bad. Derash Rav Avira. Zimnin amr l'mishmei d'Rabbi Ami v'zimnin amr l'mishmei d'Rav Asi. Okay, sometimes it's said in the name of Rav Ami, sometimes in the name of Rav Asi. Okay, another drasha here. My dichtiv komar Hashem im shlemim b'chem rabim b'chem nagozu v'avar. Okay, what does this mean? Now we're going to get into interesting stucca sugyas. Okay, this is clearly a daf, right? We're getting on many, many different tangents, but all sort of relating to how to behave, how to, right, all sorts of, except for, I guess, the singing is a little bit different of this category of the churban, but also, you know, issues relating to ben adam l'chavira. Okay, so what does this mean? Im shlemim v'chem rabim, v'chein agozu v'avar. Im ra'a adam shemezonotav mitzum tzamin. If he sees that he doesn't have a lot of stuff, okay, that's from Nagozu, okay? Now, where would Im Shlemim Bechein Rabim? I'm just trying, right, they say Shlemim is Mitzum Tzamim, right? Im Shlemim is Onotecha. That's what it means, right? Im Shlemim, I don't know why Shlemim here would be lacking, but it means basically if you're lacking or if they're great, okay? So whether you have a lot of money or whether you don't have a lot of money, or what they're specifically saying is, even if you don't have a lot of money, and all the more so if you have a lot of money. So my v'cheinu gozu v'avar, tana de Rabbi Yishmael, kol ha-gozez, right, what is gozez? Like to cut the, shear the sheep. So if you gozez minechasav, ve'osem mehen staka, nitzal midina shel genom. Okay, if you cut down your money and you give it to tzedakah, even if you don't have a lot, now obviously there's a fine line between, right, the halacha, the rabbis immediately, you know, the mefarshim will talk about it. If you can't survive, obviously, you know, make sure you can have basic survival needs. But once you have that, even people who don't have a lot of money need to give money to tzedakah. And now they're going to give a nice analogy. Mashal ishter v'chelot, shahayu ovrot b'mayim. Achat gezuza v'achat sheina gezuza. Gezuza avra, sheina gezuza lo avra. Okay, in other words, you might think it's better that they didn't shear your wool if you're a sheep, right? But in the end, when you go into the water, you're much heavier. It weighs you down, okay? And that your wealth can sometimes weigh you down, and therefore, it's sometimes better to have less money. So now we still have to explain. That's the beginning of the pasuk. We have to still explain now. So that's v'chein gozu v'avar, okay? So now that's v'chein gozu v'avar. They're using the word v'avar, right? It's easier to pass. It's easier to get through things if you don't have a lot of stuff weighing you down. Now the end of that pasuk is, okay, so here's the pasuk. It's from Nachum, by the way. It's Komar Hashem, im shlemim v'chein rabim, v'chein gozu v'avar, v'initicha lo e'enech od. Okay, you can see where this is going, right? V'initicha, if you're suffering, amar marzutra, filu ani amitpanes min atztaka, yaset tztaka. Okay, that's what we said before, right? This concept that even, and here they're going even so far as to say, even if you get tztaka from the community, you still have to give a portion of it. And this is where they talk about, as long as you still have enough for basic needs. Lo e'encha od, t'nei Rav Yosef, shuv e'en marin lo simoneim aniyut. Right? If you give from your money, God will help you, that you'll be able to get out of your poverty. Okay, end of long tangent. Back to our sugya of Gittin, if you remember what we're up to. Okay, Rav Yehuda Omer Mirekem Lemizrach. Okay, now we're going to get into some geography. Okay, so if you remember, Mirekem Lemizrach, Virekem Kimizrach, right? And then he said, Ve'ako Kitzafon, Ve'ako Kitzafon, right? These are the boundaries. So now we're going to deal with Ako. Lememra da'ako Litzvona de'eretz Yisrael Kaima. Uriminu, are you really saying that Akko is considered north of Israel? Because don't we have this braita that says, Hayam halech me'Akko l'chziv. Where are these places, right? Akko we know, and Chziv is Achziv, right? Okay, you know the border, right? We have the map here, right? Here's the water, right? There's Akko. There's Achziv right north of it. Okay, there's Akko. There's Rosh HaNikra, right, above that. Okay, if that's been to that area. What are you laughing at?
Camp Amichai.
Right, Camp Amichai in the middle there. Yeah. Okay, so Urminu. Hayam halech me'ako l'ksiv. Mi'imino l'mizrach haderech t'me'am. Mishum eretz ha'amim. Okay, so if you're walking on the path between Akko and Ksiv, okay, everything to your right, basically, to the Mizrach, is considered, okay, like from north of Akko, is considered Eretz Ha'amim, okay, sorry, it's considered non-Jewish territory. And what does that mean? What's the relevance of that? Okay, Haderech Tme'ah, because they were gozer, we learned this before, that the Chachamim, there's no Tumah by Goyim, but they were gozer, that all areas where there's potentially Goyim there, you know, where the Goyish territories are considered Tme'im. Okay, there's Tumah there. Mishum Eretz Amim, Uptura Min HaMaser, okay, there's no Halachot of Maser, because it's considered Chutz La'aretz, Umin HaShvi'it, and there's no Shemitah. Ad Shiyodeh Alecha Shichayevet, okay, unless you get to an area which is inhabited by Jews, you know, and then it's considered part of Israel. It just means, you know, until you get all the way over where maybe there already it's Jewish territory. But basically that whole area is considered non-Jewish. There's a big problem with this, okay, because this is really considered Israel. So we'll talk about it in 1 minute, okay? Umismola lemarav, from Akko to the west, okay, to the sea, which is not a lot of space, right? A very narrow area there. Haderech tehora mishum eretz ha'amim v'chayevet b'maser b'shvi ad shiyodeh lecha shehi p'tura. Okay, yes.
Akko today is about 8 kilometers west of where it was then, so there was a little bit.
Ah, yafeh.
There's a little bit more.
Okay, that's helpful. That's very helpful. Thank you. Okay, so what Ani's saying is that Akko is 8 kilometers west of where it is. What? 8 to 10, about. But it's somewhat more west, the old Akko of where. East, sorry.
East.
Thank you. East. Somewhat more east of where it is today, so which would make a little more sense in terms of this area that we're talking about. That's smola to, right? Smola lemarav haderech tehora mishum eretz ha'amim v'chayev b'maser b'shvi'it, right? Until you know it's p'tura. Ad hechan, okay, until where is all this true? Now, obviously, we're talking about the part that's tehora, because obviously the part that's smaya is going to be way past that, obviously. But ad hechan, ad k'ziv, okay? The first opinion is until achziv, basically. Okay, that there's this path that's going to be tahor, that's considered Israel. Rabbi Shema, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Aviv, ad lav levo. Okay, in the Koran they claim that lav levo is basically this area from Rosh HaNikra and a little bit north of it. Okay, where there were these whitish, you know, what are they, grottos? Right, that was this area of lav levo. Okay, so therefore he says up to lav levo. Amar Abaye, Ritzua Nafka, so now, what's the issue here? This seems to imply that Akko is, right, part of Eretz Yisrael, right? There's this part of Akko, this part of Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Abaye, Ritzua Nafka, Ritzua Nafka. Okay, what does he say? He said it's not Akko itself, it's that there was this path. And this path was like a designating line, that to the left of it was going to be Eretz Yisrael, and to the right of it was going to be Chutz La'aretz. Okay? A lot of the Mefarshim have a big problem with this based on the reality of the boundaries of Israel. And what they claim is that the Girsa is the opposite. And that Dafka, the part that's to the east, is Israel. And it's that small path that was inhabited by non-Jews that we're talking about that was Dafka Tamid. Okay? And that makes a lot more sense geographically. Otherwise, it's very difficult to imagine. And it could be, again, you know, that when they were discussing this in Bavel, they didn't really know, and, you know, things get confused to the right, to the left, to the east, to the west, you know, and it could be that they got confused about it, and really it seems that the more accurate Nusach is Dafka the opposite of all this.
It's a rather non-Zionistic approach, and it might be because they were sitting in Bavel.
Ah, you think it's non-Zionistic to say all this area isn't...
Yeah, right.
Well, it's not so... I mean, it's from Akko, right, but it's the whole...
Why do they have to say what the borders of Israel are?
Well, they weren't saying it. They were bringing a braita that said it. In other words, this they were reciting braita. Remember, they always recited braita. They didn't make this up. This was something that was said in the time of the Tanaim and passed down by memory, you know, by all these people. So someone remembered learning this. So that's why you can easily imagine, right? It's like when you learn something and you don't understand the context of it, you can confuse left and right very easily, right? When you don't visualize it. That's why it's very important to see a map to understand the sugya. Without seeing a map, it's very complicated. It's very likely, even if there were people in Bavel who knew the boundaries, that the person who brought this braita had no idea what the boundaries were and got confused when he passed it down.
It's just that the language is interesting, because you could easily just say, this area was Tamei, this area was not. Or mm-hmm. This is settled by other people, it was not. But to say it's not Eretz Yisrael, it's kind of powerful.
Well, they're not saying it. They're saying it's Tamei or it's not Tamei, but it's the same thing as saying it's not Israel. I'm not sure what the difference is.
It could be temporarily.
Right, it could be. Well, that's why it even says, until you know otherwise. It does seem to imply temporariness, because it's saying until you know otherwise, right? It's a little unclear what that means, until you know otherwise. What does that mean? Until something changes and the inhabitants are different and, you know, it gets conquered more, you know, more consider the jurisdiction of Israel. It's a good question how you exactly relate to this.
I think there was one concept that it wasn't necessarily these were the actual borders, but just in terms of where there was knowledge about how to do.
Ah, well, that's for Gittin. This is not knowledge, Eric. This
is
this
borders.
We're talking about Tumah you know, which would affect who's living there, really. Is it more non-Jews? And Maser and Shvi, which is Kedusha Ha'aretz, which is actually, it's more complicated because that had boundaries that were based on, you know, the Ole, well, right, there's a whole thing about it. Is it from the time of Yeshua? Is it from the time of the Bayit Sheni? So that's why it's also, to leave it open is a little more complicated.
Remember, like on the west, like much further east, that they used to do Maser Ani in the places that they were concerned weren't Kedusha Ha'aretz, and they wouldn't do Maser Sheni.
Right. So this so this could be also an opinion, someone's opinion in the time of the Tanaim. In other words, there were different opinions about how to treat the boundaries and stuff. And it could be the issue of until you know otherwise might be just relating to the Tumah and not to the to the Masrot and the Shvi, which is a little bit more of a, like they're lumping these two issues which actually have different definitions. It's a difficult source in general.
The status of the land would change based on inhabitants.
Yes.
Right, so that's, right. So maybe the issue of Tumah, because Tumah is only Derabbanan, and it was a Gzeira of Tumah Ha'am, Eretz Ha'amim, and that might change, whereas the issue of Shvid and Maser is much more complicated to be changing. Although, again, once you no longer have a Beit HaMikdash, or once most of the people aren't living in Israel anymore, also the issue flips of right. It becomes only Midrabanan, according to most opinions. So, anyway, it's a good, there's a lot of questions about this sugya. The Gemara is going to ask a question on it, which is, B'yav Tana Simana Hachi? Is the Tana getting, and it's a very difficult question, what exactly they're asking. Is the Tana giving a Siman like this? Okay. The Rashi, let me just remember who says what. Rashi says, I'm just going to look at Rashi. Rashi said, "Is more metama mi'chashiv achad ritzua." And is it so that the fact that they're giving this very small area, now again, it might depend on what Ani was saying, where exactly they thought Akko was, but are you going to give a whole, like the Tana's going to start talking about such a very small area where it's delineating the boundaries of? Now, most of the Mefreshim say that's a very weird question. Of course it is. Like, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to delineate boundaries. Okay? So some of the Mefreshim say, no, they're Dafka talking about, what did they say in the end? It's not Akko, how they answer up their question. It's a Ritzu'ah. It's this little path that goes from Akko, and that's the path that demarcates everything. So think about the paths in those days, right? Their paths got washed out all the time in the rains. Remember, we learned that they had to repave the roads every year, and that probably the question is more, like some of the Mefreshim say, are you delineating a boundary by a path? Like it doesn't matter, they're saying there's this path from Akko to Achziv, right? Go find that path exactly to know exactly where the boundary is. It's a very strange way to give a boundary marker. So now they say, no, it's not so strange. In Kranami Yad Simana, even the Pasuk gives a Siman like this. Dichtiv, Vayomru, Hineh Chag Hashem B'Shiloh Miyamim Yamima, Asher Mitz, now they're going to explain where Shiloh is in the text, okay? Asher mitzvona lebeit el. You can look in Rashi. There's these diagrams there. Okay? Asher mitzvona lebeit el. Mizracha ha-shemesh. Okay, it's north of Beit El. It's on the side of the Mizrach, le-misila, from the path. You hear this? That's why that interpretation works very well. It's to the right of this path, ha-ule mi-beit el shchema, that goes from Beit El to Shchem, u-minegev le-levona, and it's south of Levona. Okay? So it's basically demarcating it by using a path. Okay, that's why it's not so crazy. Okay. V'amar Rapapa l'mizracha shel mesila. Okay, Rapapa says, this is, 1 second. That the Pasuk is talking about, right, sorry, this is just continuing to explain. And Rapapa said that when it says mizracha shemesh l'mesila olem mi beit el shchema, he's saying that it's to the right of this path, okay? It's to mizrach, to the east of this path. Okay. Tanichada. Now we're moving on to a different issue in time. Tanachada, hamevi get bisfina. What if you're in a boat, okay? And you're in the waters of Israel, but you're in a boat. Is that considered Israel or not? Kimevi be'eretz Israel. Okay, you're considered, one Tana says, it's like you're in Israel. V'tani idach, kimevi b'chutz la'aretz. Okay, the other one says, we're going to see, it's actually not totally clear, we're only going to see this tomorrow, whether we're talking about waters near Israel, meaning like let's say you're in the Yam HaTichon, the Mediterranean, would that be, you know, let's say you're, again, maybe it's an issue of, right, if you look at the Yam HaTichon, right, part of it is like we saw with the other Kfar Lodim, that it was Muvlah within the Tum, you know, that if you drew a rectangle around the borders, some of it would be considered part of Israel. Or are we talking about waters within Israel, the Naharot that are in Israel, like the Yarden or something? So if you're bringing a get, let's say the get was written on the boat, okay, and then you're bringing it. So do you have to say, B'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Is it like from Chutz La'aretz or is it like in Israel? V'tanya Ida. So one Tana says it's like bringing Israel. V'tanya Ida can maybe be Chutz La'aretz. Okay, we have both opinions. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, lo kashya. It's not a difficulty here. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbanan. They go each according to a different shita. Okay, it's not like they contradict each other. It's that there's two different approaches, which is the way we kind of thought of it in the first place, right? It seems like it's two different approaches. Ditnan, there's a machloket. Now, this has nothing to do with our case. It has to do with a boat, okay? Afar chutz la'aretz, haba b'sfina la'aretz. Let's say you're on a boat and you have soil, okay? Now, here, it doesn't matter whether the soil is from chutz la'aretz or not. The point is, even if the soil is from chutz la'aretz soil, and it's on your boat, and you plant something in that soil, Habab Spina le Eretz Israel. It's coming, right? From Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Israel. Chayav b'maaser b'shvi'it. Okay? Since it's going to go at some point into the territory of Israel, right? It's going to get there before it gets onto the land. It's already considered within the boundaries of Israel. It's chayav b'maaser and shvi'it. It has kedushat shvi'it. Kedushat ha'aretz. Am Rabbi Yehuda, ematai, bizman shasfina gosheshet. Aval ena sfina gosheshet patur. This is only when the boat is very low, where the water's low, the water level's low, and the boat is like in the, you know, in the shore, right? You know, in the, right? It's coming in and it's, the waters are very shallow. Aval ein spina gosheshe patur. But if it's in very deep waters, then it's patur. It's not considered connected to the ground. So now, that's what the Gemara first says. One is one opinion, one is the other opinion. Abai amar, ha v'ha Rabbi Yehudahi. Now we're going to see, you can explain both according, both Chito Tanaim according to Rabbi Yehuda, and then we're going to see, you can see both of them according to Chachamim. How so? So remember, Rabbi Yehuda said that if it's a deep water thing, then it's not considered Israel. So now how would you say then? So that would explain easily, if you're maybe get, right, then you'd have to say, because it's considered Chutz La'aretz. How would you say the other one? Below Kasha, kam bizman she'ein ha'sfina gosheshet, kam bizman she'sfina gosheshet. One Tana was talking about when the waters were very shallow, and that was what he meant. So that would be the interpretation. Amar Rabbi Zeira, atzit nakuv hamunaf al gabei yitedot, banu lemachloka Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. Okay, Rabbi Zeira now says, if you have, this is a whole big halachic thing, an atzit nakuv and an atzit she'enu nakuv. What does this mean? You have a plant with holes in the bottom, right? So your plant is, let's say, out there, right? You see plants there. But the plants have holes in the bottom. Now, even though they're not directly on the ground, okay, let's say it's munach al gabei yitedot. It's on these big poles, okay, meaning it's distance very much so from the ground, okay. Banu lemachloket Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. Okay, this would be the same machloket. Sorry, I said before, I said it wrong. I said that we were going to explain that source according to both Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. I got confused. It's this we're going to explain both according to Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. But, okay, so let me just go back for a minute. We had these two brightot, Hamebi Sfina, in the waters of Israel, right? Is it considered Chutz La'aretz, like you have to say B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam, or are you considered on the land? So one interpretation was to say that one is Chachamim and one is Rabbi Yehuda. And another interpretation was to say that one was B'zman Shasfina Gosheshet and one was She'ena Sfina Gosheshet, and that it would be both according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now we're saying, we're going to take another case, and I think we'll stop here for today. I'll just set it up for you, so tomorrow we'll start with this again. But that if you have an Atzis Nakuf that's standing on these poles, that would be the same machloket that Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim have about the boat. Okay, because Rabbi Yehuda says, right, unless it's close to the ground, it's not considered part of the ground. So this Atzis would not be part of the ground. Whereas, and it wouldn't have Kedushat Shvi. But Chachamim, who say the boat, it doesn't matter how deep your waters are, it's still connected to the ground, would say the same thing here. And then what we're going to see tomorrow is there's going to be two ways to say it. No, we can explain them both according to, we can say it, you know, Rabbi Yehuda. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim would agree with the Atzis Nakuf case. Okay, and we're going to show they would either agree both according to one, or they would even, you could explain them both the other direction. And that's just going to be a logic play of what you would say was dependent on that. And what the difference between being in a boat and being on land. In other words, what the differences are. You can already think tonight and try to come up with your own interpretation.